Take our Bibles and go to John chapter number 15. And I want everybody to look at verse 8 with me. John 15 and verse number 8. All right? In fact, let's read it together. You ready, church? Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. What a powerful verse. Jesus is speaking to his men on his way to the Garden of Gethsemane right before his crucifixion. And he says, so shall ye be my disciples. Now, obviously, being a disciple of Christ is different than simply being a child of God, being saved. I mean, we all know how you get saved, right? And that is you put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ and what he did for you on the cross. Can you get saved and can you go to heaven by joining the church? How about being baptized? How about trying to keep the golden rule? Is that going to get you to heaven? No. We're all sinners and we need a Savior. Aren't you glad Jesus died on the cross for our sins? And the moment you trust him and him alone to save you, at that very instant, you become a child of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Now, that's how it happens. But what about this thing about being a disciple of Jesus Christ? Well, literally, a disciple means a learner or a pupil. A disciple is a person of concrete action, concrete commitment. They make themselves available for training. They devote themselves to a lifetime of learning and a lifetime of growth. I mean, a disciple is a person who would look at that sheet that we went over this morning, and man, their eyes would get big and their eyebrows would go up and they'd be like, whoa, an opportunity to grow, an opportunity to learn. You see, someone who is not simply just a child of God, but they're a disciple, that's someone who is committed to learning, committed to growing. They want to go further in their relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, in your handout, it says that the Father is glorified when you become a true disciple of Christ. The Father is glorified when you become a true disciple of Christ. Look again at verse 8, okay? Everybody go to verse 8 and look at that again. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. In other words, church, there is no way that we can glorify God. There is no way that we are going to hear, well done, when we stand before the Lord one day, unless we have applied ourselves in this thing of becoming a disciple. The question I want to pose to you this morning, and I want you to consider this, are you simply a child of God, or are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? You say, how do I know? Well, Jesus is going to lay out a profile of a disciple right here in John 15. I've got five key questions I want you to ask yourself and then honestly answer them. Number one in your handout is this. Here's the first key question to determine if you're a disciple. Do I consistently abide in Christ? Do I consistently abide in Christ? Now, I want you to go to your Bible and look at verse number 4, John 15, verse 4. Jesus said, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. Look at verse 7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you. What does it mean to abide? If I tell my kids, hey kids, I want you to abide in the house. What does that mean? That means I want them to what? Want them to stay there. And that's what the word abide means. To abide means to stay in a given relation. So in other words, church, a disciple is a person who knows how to abide. They know how to maintain that right relationship with Jesus Christ, and they choose to do so. What's the very first word in verse 7? Everybody look at it. What's the first word? If. So let me ask you a question. Is it a choice whether or not we're going to abide in Christ? Yes or no? It's a choice. Every single day you make that choice. There are a lot of people who think, well, now I'm saved. I know the Lord. I'm just going to kind of put it in autopilot. Well, no, Christian growth is not automatic. You can't put it in autopilot. Christian growth is supernatural. Every day we make the choice. Will I follow Christ today? Will His Holy Spirit guide me today? Will His teaching instruct me today? The disciple has chosen to be rightly related to Christ through His Word. Did you notice He said, if you abide in me and my words abide where? In you. You see, a disciple is someone who has a commitment to Scripture. And in your handout it says, that manifests itself in the disciple's working knowledge of Scripture. A disciple is someone who has a working knowledge of the Bible. They know how to study the Word. Look with me in your handout. 2 Timothy 2:15. What's the very first word? Study. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Everybody say the end of that verse with me. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Did you know a disciple is somebody who knows how to rightly divide the Bible? They know how to study the Bible. They know how to dig food out of the Bible for themselves. Most believers in America today, they go to church, they listen to a sermon, and that's where it ends. They listen to a sermon, and that's where it ends. You see, a disciple is someone who knows how to go to the Bible daily and dig food out for themselves, digest it, and then apply it to the details of their lives. A disciple is somebody who knows how to study. They know how to feed themselves from the Bible. Most people go to church, they hear a sermon, and that's it. So the pastor goes to the Bible, the pastor digs out the food, the pastor prepares the food, and then the pastor dishes it out on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night. But disciples are different. Disciples are self-feeding. What they get at church is like a vitamin supplement because they are digging out food for themselves all during the week. Not only that, but in your handout it says, a disciple knows how to fight for and defend the Bible. A disciple knows how to fight for and defend the Bible. A disciple is somebody who's equipped for battle. They know how to filter through the philosophies of the world. They know what God's Word says on current day issues. A disciple understands what he believes well enough to be able to spot counterfeit teaching. A disciple is somebody that if they're going through the TV and they're channel surfing and they go to some of the religious networks, right away a disciple can spot counterfeit teaching. You see, if somebody comes up to a disciple and they say, "Hey, how do you know the Bible's reliable?" A disciple knows how to tell them. Here's how I know the Bible's reliable. If somebody goes up to a Christian and they say to a Christian, "Well, why does your God allow suffering and evil to continue on the earth?" A disciple knows how to answer that. How can you know that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven? How do you rightly divide the Bible? How do you determine what's true doctrine for the church today? You see, a disciple knows how to answer those questions. A disciple is someone who Jesus said abides in him, and Jesus said, "My words abide in you." But not only that, a disciple has chosen to be rightly related to Christ through prayer. In your handout, it says, a disciple knows what to pray for and how to pray. A disciple is totally committed to prayer, getting to know God in a more personal way. You know, a lot of Christians have what I call their Christian life is what I call the flat tire syndrome. You say, "What are you talking about, flat tire syndrome, Pastor Dan?" Let me ask you a question. How many of you think about your spare tire in your car every day? Some of you are like, "Man, I don't even know if I have one. I don't know where it is. I got you thinking, didn't I?" How many of you think about your spare tire once a week? How many of you think about it once a month? Be honest. You think about your spare tire once a month? All right, good. Three of you do. That's great. I don't ever think about mine. And you know, here's the deal. But when do we think about it? When you have a flat tire, baby, you think about it, amen? And you know what? When you have a flat tire and you're on the side of the road and you go to find the spare tire, you expect that thing to be aired up. You expect it to be quality. You expect it to be able to get the job done. You expect it to be able to get you to the gas station. Amen? Now, a lot of people have a flat tire syndrome in their relationship with God. That is, God is kind of like that spare tire. That is, God is someone that we really don't think about that much on a daily basis. We're not abiding in Christ on a daily basis. His words aren't abiding in us on a daily basis. We're not really praying and seeking His face on a daily basis. But when an emergency comes or when a crisis hits our life, man, we expect, like that spare tire, man, we want God to be ready to go. We want Him to answer our prayer. We want Him to be there for us in that time of distress. Flat tire syndrome. And you know, the thing is this, most counseling sessions, most people that have problems in their marriage, or they've got problems in their family, or they've got problems in their Christian life, really, to be honest with you, most of the time, not all the time, most of the time it goes back to an inadequate relationship with God. It simply goes back to this thing of abiding in Christ. They're not abiding in Christ. They have the flat tire syndrome. God's like a spare tire. I pull Him out when I need Him, but I don't really think about Him on a daily basis. And a lot of Christians, that's the problem. They've never learned to truly have a walk with Christ whereby they are abiding in Christ. But a disciple is someone who abides in Christ. Number two, Jesus said, here's a second question that Jesus taught. You ready? The second question is this. Do I bear spiritual fruit? Do I bear spiritual fruit? That's the second question when we're answering this question of, am I a disciple? Well, do I bear spiritual fruit? Look at verse 5. Verse 5. Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, what's the result if we're abiding in Christ? The same bringeth forth what? Much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Look at verse 8. Remember verse 8? Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Would y'all agree with me that a disciple should bear fruit and reproduce? Y'all agree? That's what a disciple does. A disciple reproduces. They bear fruit. When we abide in Christ, the vine, we the branches will of necessity bear fruit. Look at verse 1. He says, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth what? More fruit. Now, what kind of fruit would a Christian produce? What kind of fruit does an apple tree produce? We got some sharp folks at this church, Pastor Rob. They knew the answer to that right away. An apple tree, you would expect it to produce apples. Hey, we live in Florida. What do we expect an orange tree to produce? Oranges. So what would I expect a Christian tree to produce? Christians. Right. That is, a disciple of Christ is somebody who goes out beyond these four walls and they show Christ in their daily dealings. They show Christ through their daily life. That is, they show the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. We demonstrate Christ through the fruit of the Spirit, but that's not all. As we're demonstrating Christ, we're introducing people to Christ. We're letting them know that it's Him that's doing it. And then we share Christ with other people. We share our faith. That's what a disciple does. It's somebody who is reproducing. They are impacting other people for Christ. They are leading others to Christ. In your handout, it says every true disciple shares his or her faith and knows how to communicate the gospel, leading others to Christ. Leading others to Christ. There's no such thing as a sterile disciple. A disciple reproduces. I remember as a teenager, I got saved and I began to get trained and equipped through my local church and through my brother Steve, who led me to Christ. And I remember I wanted so much to lead somebody else to Christ. I wanted to be able to impact people. And I started witnessing to my friends at school. And I wanted so much to be able to lead someone else to Jesus Christ after I got saved. I will never forget as a teenager leading my first person to Christ. What a feeling. I mean, the next best thing to being saved is leading someone else to Jesus Christ. And man, I tell you what, I was like a mama who just gave birth, you know. And I was just so happy. I was so filled with joy. What if somebody asked you at work, what must I do to be saved? Would you be able to take the Bible and say, well, here's what the Bible says. Here's how you get saved. You see, it ain't going to work for you to say, well, Pastor Dan said, that ain't going to work. Okay? That ain't going to work. You have to know where to go in the Bible to show people how to be saved. You got to learn that. You know, if somebody at work said, can you explain who is Jesus Christ? Who is he? I hear you talk about Jesus, and who exactly is Christ? You know, I wasn't raised in a Christian home, and I don't know who Jesus even is. Who is Jesus? What's he all about? Could you go to the Bible and show him? Do you know how to lead others to Christ? You see, a disciple bears spiritual fruit. Now, you know what? Here's the thing. You may be here and you say, you know, I don't know how to lead someone else to Christ. That's okay. There's no sin or harm in that. Where the sin comes is when we don't care that we don't know how. We don't care. And it doesn't bother us that we don't know how. That's when it's troublesome. That's when we realize we're just content to be saved. Well, I'm saved now. I got my fire insurance. I'm going to heaven. You know, and we think that's enough. And we miss out on so much by not becoming a disciple of Christ. The lives and the joy that you could have impacting others. Which brings me to my next point, and that is this. Do I display an obedient faith? That's the next question to ask yourself. Do I display an obedient faith? I want you to look down at John 15 and look at verse 9. Jesus said, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Jesus links obedience to love. How many of you love God? Say amen. Amen. Okay, wait a minute though. He links obedience to love. Look at John 14. Go back to chapter 14. Go back one chapter and look at John 14:15. 14:15. Very simple verse. If you love me, Jesus said, what are you going to do? Keep my covenant. You're going to obey, right? You're going to obey. Look down at verse number 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. The average Christian waits until they feel prompted by their emotions to take action. You know, the average Christian is like, well, you know, I'm going to read my Bible if I feel like it today. But if I don't feel like it, I'm not going to do it. If I feel like being nice to my wife, I will. But if I don't feel like it, I'm just going to be ornery. If I feel like going to church Sunday, if I wake up, man, there's really nothing else to do and I want to go to church and I just kind of just feel like going to church, I'm going to go to church. But if I don't feel like it, then I'm going to go do something else. If I feel like sharing Christ with somebody, I will. If I don't feel like it, I won't. If I feel like ministering, I will. If I don't, I won't. That's the way the average Christian lives. They live by their emotions. The disciple of Christ is completely different. In your handout, it says, the disciple takes action based upon the facts of God's word, regardless of his feelings. Doesn't matter if he feels like going to church. He goes to church anyway. Even if be honest, how many of y'all have ever woke up and you didn't feel like going to church? I've been there. You know? I've been there. I don't always wake up on Sundays and feel like going to church. But you see, I don't always feel like reading my Bible. Now I know some of you are just in shock right now. You're just disappointed in me. That's my preacher. But I don't always feel like reading my Bible. Do you, Pastor Rob? No. I don't always feel like praying. I don't always feel like having a servant's heart with my wife. I don't always feel like treating my children with respect and loving them. I don't always feel like doing that. You know, and here's the thing. A disciple is someone who's learned to go beyond their feelings. They go on the facts of God's Word. And they say, you know what? I don't feel like reading my Bible, but I know I should, so I'm going to do it. I don't feel like going to church today, but I know I should, so I'm going to do it. I don't feel like serving this year in Walk Through Bethlehem. I'm just going to stay home. See, but a disciple says, no, people need to be reached. Someone's got to serve. I'm going to do it anyway. You see, a disciple is someone different than the average Christian. A disciple has a commitment to obey God, regardless of circumstances, regardless of their feelings, regardless of other pressures. They have an obedient faith. They love God, and therefore they have an obedient faith. Have you ever wondered why some Christians seem to know more about God and how He works than other people? It's because they've walked down that path of obedience for years, and God has taught them much. Jesus said that if you have my commandments, you keep my commandments. And He says, they love me and I love them and I will manifest myself to Him. Some people just know more about the Lord than other people do. Some people, their Christianity is about an inch deep. Other people, man, their Christianity, their level is like a deep well. Why? It's this issue right here. A true disciple has an obedient faith. They've learned to live by the facts of God's Word instead of their feelings. Number four. The fourth question to ask yourself is this. Do I possess a supernatural joy? Do I possess a supernatural joy? I want you to go back to John 15 and look at verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy, now look at that, Jesus called it my joy, that my joy might remain, now I want you to notice the next two words, what are they? In you, and that your joy might be what? Full. Did you know that only disciples of Christ are candidates for joy? Let me ask you a question. If you're a Christian, if you know the Lord and you're saved, does that automatically mean you're going to have joy? No, no. There may be folks here this morning, you're saved, but you're miserable. You're miserable inside. You know, there may be days, maybe you're happy today, but maybe you'll be miserable tomorrow. You see, just because you know the Lord does not mean you'll have joy. You see, joy is very distinct from happiness. Do you know what word is linked to happiness? Happenings. You see, happiness comes and goes with the conditions of life. If happenings are good, I'm happy. You know, and if I've got this fun thing I'm doing, and praise the Lord for happy moments in our life. We all have them. You know, whether it's a vacation we're looking forward to and that we go on, whether it's a day at an amusement park and we're like, oh, I'm happy, man, I'm on this roller coaster and woo, I'm happy. Now, I'd never be happy on a roller coaster, but some people are. All right. And woo, I'm happy. You know, happiness, it has to do with happenings. And when happenings are good, I'm happy. When happenings are bad, I'm not happy. Anybody who has a good life situation can experience happiness. It doesn't require any action from God. Joy, on the other hand, is a supernatural sense of well-being that comes from knowing that we're pleasing God and that we are rightly related to Jesus Christ. People can take your happiness, but no man can take your joy. You see, Jesus had joy when He went to the cross. Paul had joy when he was in prison. It isn't that they were giddy, laughing, I'm in prison. You know, it's not that kind of thing. I mean, you know, nobody's stupid like that, you know, that they're happy because they're in prison. All right. No, but they had joy. The Bible says it. The Bible says Jesus had joy when he went to the cross. The Bible says that Paul had joy when he was in prison. How can that be? Well, in your handout it says, happiness comes from outward circumstances. Joy comes from an inward peace. You see, joy comes from that spring inside of you. Get the picture here. Happiness comes from outward circumstances. When they're good, when the happenings are good, I'm happy. Joy is like a well inside of you that springs up from within you and comes out. Joy is that sense of well-being, that inner peace. Even when there's a hurricane around you, even when there's storms all around you, even when the happenings are bad, you've got that heart that's just anchored with peace. That's that joy. That's that joy. Only disciples are candidates for that supernatural joy. You got to get beyond that inch of spiritual growth and depth, and you got to sink down some roots. A disciple's got some roots, man, sunk down in there. And I just tell you flat out, you know, I'm just telling you the way it is, that, you know, a 30 or 40 minute message on Sunday morning isn't going to sink down any deep roots. It's not going to do it. You know, those roots are going to be sunk down to where you have that supernatural joy, that obedient faith. You're bearing fruit. You're impacting others for Christ. You're abiding in Christ, walking with Him on a daily basis. That comes as you sink down those deep roots in your Christian walk. The last thing I want to give you is this. Number 5, do I strive to love as Christ loves? Verse number 12. John 15, verse 12, what does it say? This is my commandment, that ye love one another. Look at this, Jesus said, as I have loved you. Would you all agree with me that's a pretty high standard? Jesus said, look up here. He said to his men, I want you to go out and I want you to love people the way I've loved you. What? You see, they were to remember how Christ loved them. They were to remember his patience, his kindness, how he washed their feet, how he loved the unlovable, how he gave his life for them. In your handout is a great verse. Look at it with me. John 13, 35. What does it say? It says this. Look at it with me. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if you have Christian bumper stickers on your car. Is that what it says? No. That's not how people know. That's not how they know. By this, look at it, shall all men know that you're mine. Hey, this is how they know you're mine. This is how they know you're committed to me. If ye have, and everybody say that next word, love one to another. That's the mark that distinguishes the average Christian from a disciple. It's that simple word, love. So many believers today are content to just be saved. They think, well, I'm a child of God. I'm good. I'm good. I'm saved. I got my fire insurance. I'm saved. I'm good. And they miss out on so much. Kind of like the guy who got married and he took his new wife to this hotel, and they had the bridal suite reserved. And they got there late at night and they went into the bridal suite, and there's a sofa, plush, beautiful sofa, and just wonderful, beautiful furniture, chairs and desks and tables and you know, big screen TV, just everything top notch. But then they looked around, all of a sudden they're like, there's no bed in here. And so they look around, well, the sofa has a hide a bed. So they pulled out the hide a bed, slept on that lumpy mattress, sagging springs. Anybody ever sleep on a hide a bed? Isn't it a wonderful experience? And so they spent the night, woke up with sore backs. Well, man, that new husband, he went down to the hotel clerk and he gave him what for? I mean, he gave him a tongue lashing. Who's ever heard of a bridal suite without a bed? And I mean, he's going on and on. And all of a sudden, the hotel clerk looked at him and he said, sir, did you open the door in that room? He said, what door? The door. Did you open the door in the room? He said, well, no. He said, sir, You need to go up there and open that door. So the guy went up there and he opened up the door they thought was a closet. And when they opened up the door, there's a beautiful, gorgeous bedroom. Fruit baskets, chocolates, everything there. Opening the door is all it took. Becoming a disciple of Christ is opening up that door and experiencing all that God has given you in Christ. It's becoming all that He wants you to be in Christ. It's becoming all that you can be in Christ. So many Christians are content to live their Christian life on that sagging hide-a-bed. And God says, no, I got more for you. I want you to go beyond just knowing you're saved. I want you to be my disciple. I want you to open up the door. And I want you to have all that I have for you in Christ. And I want you to experience all I have for you in Christ. And I want you to live out all that I've made you in Christ. And my prayer for our flock. And by the way, you know, some of you wonder, why are we changing things up on Wednesday night? Because I just want so much to be able to help our people to be discipled. I want to help you to be able to grow. I want to be able to help you to sink down those roots. I want to help you to be able to go to that next level. And that's why we're doing that. See, is because we're very serious here at Crossroads about helping you to grow. You know what my prayer is? My prayer for our flock is the same prayer that Paul prayed for the church in Ephesians 1. And here's what the prayer was. It wasn't that they'd be healthy and wealthy and rich and prosperous and all that. No, you know how Paul prayed for the church? He said, here's how I pray for you. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and knowledge in the revelation of Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. And that you would know what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. Paul said, I want you to know and understand all that He has for you in Christ. Becoming a disciple of Christ is like that guy, that new husband, opening up that door and experiencing all that Christ has for you. Many Christians, like I said, they're content to live on that sagging hide-a-bed. And you may be thinking this morning, Pastor Dan, okay, now I know what a true disciple is. I mean, a disciple is someone who reproduces. They bear fruit. They impact other people's lives. A disciple is somebody who knows how to lead others to Christ. They've got an obedient faith, a supernatural joy. They've got they love as Christ loves. They know how to walk and abide in Christ. They've got a working knowledge of the Bible. And I understand that now, Pastor Dan. But how do I get there? How do I get there? Where do I start? Well, there's so many opportunities like our Wednesday night that we're going to do this fall. There's so many opportunities for you to get there, to send those roots down deeper. But here's what you got to realize. It's not going to happen automatically. In your handout at the bottom, it says, being a disciple takes training, learning, and practice. Here at Crossroads, we desire to help you to become a true disciple of Jesus Christ. If you look up at the PowerPoint screen, it says, are you a growing disciple of Christ? Now, only you can answer that.